Dream big and save big on your next backyard project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our Crescent Edgers on sale now through April 12th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
How do we stumble on this labor pain soldiers,
Because of MIA.
Yeah, we were talking about MIA, who performed at the
Super Pregnant
Grammys and then is going to perform again in a weekend, right?
Yeah, she's expected to perform at the Oscars because she does this song called Osaya on the Slumdog Millionaire soundtrack. And so she performed at the Grammys on her due date, had the baby, and is now going to be performing at the Oscars on Sunday.
I love that. I love it.
We were like,
I love
whoa,
a tough woman, man.
That can
stick it out like through labor pains or whatever and just sucks it up and man, just works through it.
And she obviously had a healthy pregnancy too because, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of friends that have been on doctor ordered bed rest and all of that kind of stuff that, you know, if you don't have a healthy pregnancy, you can't be like tough as nails. But she had a healthy pregnancy. And she's tough as nails.
And we talked.
Yeah, so we asked listeners about that, and we had two listeners who one was a realtor was going through labor pains, and then another one was a surgeon going through labor pains.
Yeah, if you think you're tougher than these women, or you want to brag on your wife today and say, look, you think those women were strong, let me tell you what my wife did through her labor pains, and give us a call right now, 404-741-Q100. This is the realtor that was in labor, and economic times are bad right now.
Right.
You got to get the sale.
Especially
it doesn't matter.
Especially real estate.
Yeah, my wife, in the midst of labor between contractions, was a realtor, took phone calls. In this market, you can't walk away from a sale.
Wow. So she was in labor and doing business.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
Did she close the deal?
She did.
All right, good.
Wow. Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's amazing.
That is such a turn on. A woman with that kind of pain tolerance level to work through that. 404-741-Q100. This is from the surgeon from yesterday.
This is what I did during labor. I was operating. I'm a surgeon, and I was having some back pain that I kind of blew off because I thought, well, they did not do for another 3 weeks. And I finished my case, and went to the office and was seeing patients, and it turns out by lunchtime when my husband finally made me go to my gynecologist, I was 5 centimeters dilated. And
so you performed surgery.
What type?
Nice.
And what do you call it? What?
Soldiers.
Yeah.
Labor pain soldiers, man. Yeah. Nancy's a tough chick. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Give it to us rough.
MIA is nothing. I delivered a 9-pound baby that was breech diagonal, 180 staples, hip to hip, was back to work full time a week and a half later.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about right
now,
there.
Now, was that out of desire or necessity that you went back to work?
It's really mind over matter. If you want to lay around and be a wuss and cry about it, fine. If not, get up and, you know, take care of the baby and the 20-month-old that you had right before and get your ass back to work.
I like it.
What do you do for
a living? I like that right there. I'd run through a wall for you.
My body hurts.
What do you do for a living?
I worked for a furniture rental place where I actually delivered the furniture.
Unbelievable.
So you picked up the furniture.
You were picking up furniture and stuff like that right afterwards?
Well, with the help with a dolly, sure, but, you know.
Still, man.
Couches aren't really that heavy.
Yes. Thank you for calling.
Well, my body hurts. Yeah.
Kara, who's a badass, Kara?
Who's bad?
My sister, Karen.
What'd she do?
When she delivers her baby, she goes and teaches ballet. She goes and teaches ballet. Before she delivers. She's a ballet teacher.
With every baby?
Every baby.
So she's in labor and she's teaching ballet still?
Yeah, and the one time we got to the hospital, she taught ballet, went home for 2 hours, and then she delivered in 12 minutes.
Oh, whoa!
So she's like, I don't need to sit in a hospital for very long.
So when she...
That's funny.
Like, when she goes in to teach the ballet class, is she like, okay, it's almost time, let me shake this thing loose? Or does she just happen to be in there and it starts
There's
to happen?
There's got to be a better ballet, like, pose than shake this thing loose that she did.
What?
She just she goes in and she has contractions, and then she has to finish teaching. So
you got to get it done. You got to get it done.
Just for the record, Tracy has just sent me an instant message and asked us if we could move on anytime now. That would be great.
Tracy.
She hates it. She goes, if I go into labor, I will not be a soldier, in case anyone's wondering.
She doesn't know that yet. She doesn't know that yet.
And then she wrote, I'm craving chocolate milk.
Christy, you are a labor pain soldier.
I am.
Tell us about it.
I went to the doctor. They were like, you're dilated to 4. I was like, no, today is my other child's birthday. I still left the doctor's office. They were like, go to the hospital. I was like, nope. I went and threw a birthday party, had a birthday party, brought her home, went to pick up my husband at work. Was like, he was like, you're in labor? I said, yeah, but we have to do stuff for the baby, the other baby. And then when I finally went to the hospital late that night, 2 pushes, the other baby was out. I was
Booyah.
Already fully
Look
dilated,
that,
but walking around.
I got a fully birthday to take dilated. Care of. Fully dilated.
How big is fully dilated? How many centimeters is that?
10.
10? And you're still walking around?
I was still walking around just clutching tight. Like, I know this other baby clutching can't come yet. The other one has to have her birthday first.
This is loud.
That is impressive. You loved that first child.
I did. So they have two different birthdays. Literally at 12:08, the other one was born.
Damn. I love how she said today is not his birthday.
Nuh-uh. Madam Kegel is taking over.
Oh, that's a superhero.
Patrick, give it up, man. What's up?
So we just moved here from California. I probably should just preface this, but my wife actually has had 2 back operations, and so she had to have a C-section. And so consequently, they couldn't give her a epidural. They had to give her a spinal tap. So whatever medicine is in a spinal tap, they didn't give her enough of, and she could actually feel them carterizing her insides. Yeah, so I'm standing there videotaping this thing, and she's like, honey, I don't feel right. You know, I'm like, yeah, you're having they're pulling a baby out of you. Of course you don't feel right. So that she's like, no, I can actually feel them. And the doctor said, what? Mm. And they said, well, give her some more whatever medicine they're supposed to give her. And she wasn't basically numb enough.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. I cannot imagine what she went through.
Hey, yeah. I've got a list of people Tracy hates. You're one of them.
But this one was kind of forced on her. Like, I understand she was a soldier, but she sort of had to be, where the other calls were like, yeah, I was in labor, but I had a ballet class to teach. So I did what I had to do.
Today is not my
child's
birthday.
She had a C-section. She could feel.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to go into labor, and I'm not even pregnant.
Not again.
Save that. Yeah. How do you feel about your little burn on your leg now, Wendy?
Feels much better because the rest of my body hurts.
Michelle, are you the badass?
I'm a badass.
All right. Well,
and just for everyone, in case anyone's wondering, I am right now clutching my vagina closed despite not even having one.
It's been 10 years and I'm still clutching mine.
What happened?
My husband was studying for his CPA at the time, so he was, it was finals week. I was full-term pregnant with my twins. I had gained 102 pounds. I drove myself to the hospital because I did not want to wake him up. Got there 7 centimeters dilated, gave birth to my children naturally, no drugs, and, you know, the other way, 7 pounds apiece, 5 minutes apart.
Damn. Wow. And your husband slept through the whole, he was never even there, slept through the whole thing?
No, actually, he got there. By the time I called him and got to the hospital, he said, what the hell are you doing? Because
she's
I drove
like,
myself
I'm just
to the
being
hospital.
Myself.
And she drove herself, yeah. I'm just being me, baby. I'm just doing me right now.
This is what you married me for.
That's awesome.
This may be the one I love most. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on Q100.
Yeah, the day I gave birth, I was surfing all day long.
That's my girl right here.
Yeah, man. I went to the hospital about 7 o'clock that morning, and they told me that I hadn't dilated any. To come back the next day, and I went surfing for about 7 hours and went into labor and had the baby by midnight.
Nice.
Good for you.
Surfing in labor.
God bless you.
Love it.
I'm just curious, what kind of bathing suit were you wearing?
Excuse me?
Were you wearing a bathing suit?
I was wearing a bikini.
Yeah!
Go ahead, girl.
The Burt Show.
Have a brand new 3D movie coming out that Joe is going to tell you about here in just 1 second. Good morning, Joe Jonas.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
I want to be totally honest with you. I have had to pee for like 10 minutes, and I was hoping you were going to be late so I could run to the bathroom before you called. And you messed everything up for me this morning.
You've never had that introduction before.
You should have woken up a little bit early.
I tried getting out of here. Sometimes you just forget to pee, though.
Does that ever happen to you on stage?
I've had a problem on stage.
You
about
have.
That.
Have you? Like, you want to pee right before you get out on stage, and then you realize...
I've had to go, like, while I was on stage. I'd have to shoot my brothers a look, and they'd get it, and I would have to just run off stage for a few seconds and come back.
Do you
come
dance on. Off? Like, do you do the whole, I'm really into the song, and I'm dancing off, and...
So you're hopping cross-legged?
Yeah.
No, I just run.
Is that something that you're aware of as you walk on stage, like where the nearest restroom is?
You always have to be aware of where the nearest restroom is, or where the stash of water bottles are, or, regular... Regular, normal things.
Because can you imagine if you're walking off stage and just at the same, running off stage because you got, 45 seconds to go, and just as you see your, road manager shutting the door with a newspaper tucked under his arm, you're like, no!
Yeah, well, the good thing is we play a lot of venues where it's just like a hockey arena or something.
Yeah.
So, there's just hallways of little holes of dressing rooms that have bathrooms. So it's the funniest thing. It was a couple of weeks ago, we had a concert, and I'm running backstage, and my mom's in the dressing room, and I'm running by her. My mom's face was like, wait, what are you doing? Why are you going on stage?
You have actually literally had to pee into a bottle on the side of a stage before?
Not that's something that I've yet to do.
Okay.
Because guess what Bert's doing right now?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, if I check out for a couple of minutes, you know why. It's Joe Jonas on the Bert Show this morning on Q100.
Joe, you have been famous for a while now, and you've had some famous relationships. I'm just wondering if you have any regrets in those relationships. Or maybe in getting out of them.
Nope.
Zero.
That's an awesome answer.
Nope. Not at all.
Well said.
Look, there was the whole weird Taylor Swift thing for a while there, but I'm assuming that everything's cool there because she's part of the movie now, right?
Yeah, everything's cool, and that's not what we're going to talk about today. I think we're going to talk about the 3D movie and how excited we are, And last night we had the premiere, and it went extremely well. I mean, it was packed on Hollywood and Highland, just all the way down the streets, and all the fans came out, and it was exciting for us to kick it off with a bang, and we're excited to bring it to a city near you.
We started to hear some rumors that you guys are actually going to show up at the movie in different cities. Like, people aren't even going to know you're there,
right.
And you're just going to go, hey, by the way, we're the Jonas Brothers, and that's us on 3D, and this is us in real life right
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah, what we're doing this weekend, we have a weekend off, and it's going to be really exciting for us because we have, we're going to spend it with our fans. We're going to fly all across the country, and we're not saying what cities, but we're just going to show up to the cities and walk in the theater and kind of surprise the fans, and it's going to be exciting for us because we want to be able to really thank the fans by sharing it with them, and it'll be a really nice way to say thank you, I think.
So I'm sure the timing has to be just right on that, because if you walk in and they get mad that you've interrupted the movie before they know who you are, then then you might get some popcorn, thrown on you.
Right.
So now that this is out here, that you're sneaking around to movie theaters all weekend, if you look like a Jonas Brother, it would probably be a good idea to avoid movie theaters.
That could be dangerous for you.
Well, because this movie is 3D, people aren't going to know if you're really there or not. They're going to just assume that.
That's true.
We might have to actually walk up to the people and say hello. I mean, that's why it's going to be nice to have. We're going to have microphones and stuff, I think, and just kind of walk in, and it'll be cool. It'll be pretty cool, and I think we're going to be watching the movie a lot this weekend.
You're going to have to touch somebody because they're not going to believe it.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Do you guys help come up with those types of ideas, or are those given to you?
We come up with with almost everything that we do, and we try to definitely a co-produce kind of like a thing, because we're always trying to come up with another cool idea to thank the fans or just are fun. You know, when it comes to our clothing or our music or touring, it's all us. You know, and we work hard at trying to make it the best it can be.
Hey, Joe, I want to ask you a tough question that's not a personal question. It's a professional question, but it's one that's hit the internet pretty nasty the last couple of weeks, and that's that you guys were collaborating with Chris Brown on writing some materials together. A, is there any truth to that? And B, have you guys sort of backed off of that since the whole Chris Brown, Rihanna alleged thing has been going on?
You know, our hearts go out to both of them, and we have not worked with them, no.
Okay, so okay. This is just a rumor on the internet, and there has been no truth to you guys collaborating together?
You know, there's always rumors, and you kind of have to just, you have to step back we've seen some really ridiculous rumors where, like, we were in Europe at one point, and Kevin was, somebody told Kevin, like, so, Kevin, you're leaving the band, right? We're all like, what? We're like, yeah, apparently you're going to be leaving the band. We're like, no, unless Kevin wants to tell us something. But so we always hear, you know, tons of rumors, you kind of just have to get used to it and laugh it off.
Has there ever been a situation where one of your brothers has had to come to you after reading something about you in a tabloid and go and just to give you a heads up and say, hey, I want to let you know what's coming down? Or vice versa, where you've read something about one of your guys and you've one of your brothers and you've had to go to the guys and be like, hey, and where they may have actually thought there might have been a nugget of truth in it?
You know, I think it definitely you can just know what's right and what's, you know, my brothers and I, you know, we're really close and we're really tight it's no joke when I tell you that, you know, we're each other's best friends. Like even on off stage, we're still hanging out and having a good time together. And so, you know, exactly, you know each other so well that you know what's true and what's not.
Joe, before we let you go and give away tickets to the movie, we have Miley Cyrus coming in here next week, and you know her way better than we do. So can you give us a little bit of advice on things that we can ask her and things that we should stay away from asking her so we don't make her all mad?
Okay. I bet she would love to talk about her dogs.
Okay.
She loves her dogs. She's like, I think she has like 18 of them or something.
Wow. 18?
Okay. No, I think she has like 3 or 4, and she has horses. I don't know if anyone knows that. She owns horses, and that's, I bet she would like to talk about that.
She's actually bringing the horses with her, which is in studio, so that's going to be part of the organization.
Well, sweet.
Hey, if you asked her, why don't you ask her a question, like as a fan, that we will play for her during the interview? And don't identify yourself as Joe Jonas or anything, but just ask her a question that might cause her to raise an eyebrow, and then afterwards we'll tell her who it was.
That'd be great.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead and ask her the question.
I'm going to get my best. Should I do a high or low voice?
Either way.
A low voice.
It should just start, hey, Miley, my name is Joe, and I'm your biggest fan. And then go ahead and then go ahead and ask the question.
Oh, awesome.
Hey, Miley, how you doing? This is Joe. I'm your biggest fan, and I would like to ask you a question. I would like to know if you like giraffes, and if you like giraffes, have you ever met one? What do you think?
Joe, thank you very much.
That was fantastic. That was a great question.
Fantastic. A little bit. I don't want to make it too obvious. But.
Now, that was good.
She's going to go, is that Joe Jonas?
Is there a story behind that, or could you just not think of anything else?
I'm actually just looking at a giraffe. I have a toy giraffe in my room. I don't know.
She's going to be like,
what?
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, good luck with the movie this weekend. It is released on Friday. And you just don't know. You may be sitting there in the audience. Joe Jonas walks in, and if you get a tap on your shoulder and it's somebody that looks like him, it's probably Joe Jonas.
Or you're like, oh my God, this 3D is really good.
Yeah.
I felt it.
This is like one of those Disney rides where the bugs run under your butt. Except they come out to you and poke you.
Thanks, Joe. Good luck this weekend with the movie, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Fine, I'm going to throw myself under the bus here.
Okay.
And it goes against every radio guideline we have, because essentially, I mean, this is a popularity contest.
Well, actually, that last break went along every radio guideline.
Yeah, I think so even in our failure, it was fun anyway.
Yeah. We tried.
But this one here, I mean, our goal really is to make you guys like us and listen to us. It's a popularity contest. Right? That's what our ratings are based on. And I think I'm going to share a story with you guys that comes from personal experience. It's going to make you guys, a lot of you guys, dislike me forever.
What happened?
Because had this happened to my kid and somebody else was relaying the story, I would look at them differently.
Okay.
Happened 2 weeks ago. We took the kids to the zoo. And at the very tail end of the day, like right before you exit the zoo, there's a playground there. It's like the last thing you can do with all the kids. They get to hang out. And there's this playground. It's safe in there. And they're all, you know, it's like any other playground. It's complete pandemonium. And you got all sorts of kids in there from all sorts of different ages. I mean, you've got from my youngest, 18-month-old, to like kids that are 8, 10, 12 years old, all jumping on the equipment and stuff also, right? So we're in the playground, and I'm watching Hollis, because Hayden's six years old now. He can pretty much take care of himself on a playground. I don't worry about him, but the 18-month-old man or the 19-month-old, that's the one that sketches me out.
And that's the age where they'll just hustle away if you take your eyes off him, right?
Yeah, there's that, but I mean, it's in a confined space, so I knew he wasn't going to take off. But you got to watch. I mean, they don't have any kind of... They have no judgment of who's around them, and they're just walking to what they see.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who runs in front of them. They're going to get knocked over. If there's a what's this deal?
Teeter-totter.
Yeah, the seesaw. You know, they see this. They'll go right underneath it. He's 19 months old, so I'm a little sketched out. So I am gingerly following him. Like, I am 6 inches from him. I hate playgrounds to begin with. I do. As a parent, it's the one place I hate to go more than any place else is the playground. I am sketched out. It's just a disaster area for injury, right?
And do you think it's because Hayden had gotten stitches one time? Didn't he get stitches?
That wasn't at the playground. That was in a bathtub, yeah. But just the way that they're set up and everything, they can fall easily. They can fall off of things if you're not watching. I am just always sketched out when my kids are at a playground. So anyway, here we are in this overcrowded playground at the zoo, and my 19-month-old is working his way up slides and down slides with every one of the other kids. And you realize after a while as a parent, you get all different walks of life, and the way kids are raised are so different. There are some kids that are completely out of hand, and there are other kids that are very disciplined. There are other kids that could not care less who's around them and who's in line. They are butting to the front of the line, and they are elbowing other kids, and it doesn't matter. They have no radar, no consciousness of all, right? Rude. So I'm following Hollis around, and I'm watching this one kid. It's the one kid on the playground who's just starting to get underneath my skin.
Oh, no.
Because he is, like, pushing kids down.
How old is he?
And he looked like he was 6 years old.
All right.
He's pushing kids down. He's not waiting his turn. He's bugging all the other kids. He's pushing on them. He's pulling on them. Overly aggressive kid. So I'm on just about to get on a slide with Hollis when this kid works his way up the slide. And again, he's elbowing left and right, and he runs into me and runs under my legs, and he's just being obnoxious. And generally, you have a filter to stop doing something like this.
Oh, no.
He ran by me, and I pinched the back of his arm. Not even my kid. A strange kid.
Did you correct him on something? Like, hey.
I didn't even talk to him. He just went by me, and I just knew that he was under my skin. And I just knew that somehow, some way, someone had to stop the kid.
So you pinched him.
I pinched him on the tricep.
And what happened?
What was his reaction?
He looked around like, where did that come? It wasn't enough to like make him cry or make him go, ah, or yell, but he felt it.
He looked around
and he couldn't tell what kid did it, but it was me.
That is so bizarre. That is so bizarre that you wouldn't, like, reprimand
him. I didn't say, hey, wait your turn or anything, which I normally would. I just think that I had built myself up into such a lather, and I disliked this kid so much.
That is so funny. This strange
kid walked by me.
Did you pinch him and didn't take responsibility for it?
And I sort of had a Scrubs moment, you know, where they see things, but they don't really do it, and you have that mental filter to stop it. And my arm just reached out, and I nailed him right there on the tricep. And as soon as I did it, I felt really bad about it. But there was some part of me felt a little vindicated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I pinch in a 6-year-old.
Do you judge?
Way to go, tough guy.
Do you judge yourself more for doing that, or his parents for having an unruly kid and not doing anything about it?
I put it on his parents.
Yeah,
like I think kids basically they. I mean, there are some kids that are naturally more aggressive than others, but I also think it's the responsibility of the parents to say, "Look, when you're in this atmosphere, you got to slow it down, man. You got to wait your turn. You got 9 kids in front of you, and you've got little kids also, and learn how to not be rude."
Now, do you think that those parents know that they have brats for kids? Like, are there parents that will admit, "Yeah, I haven't done a great job disciplining my kids, and my kids are brats"?
I don't know if parents that have brats know that they are or not. Or I think some of them have given up.
Some of them do.
Have just like gone, that's it. That's just the way
he
is.
I've never heard a parent admit, yeah, my kids are rotten, evil brats.
I've heard that.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, even think of the TV show The Nanny. Yep, he's just a brat. He punches his sister. He won't eat his dinner. He won't clean his room. There's nothing I can do with him. And like Bert said, once the parent has given up, then that is like their white flag. They're like, brat. The word brat is written
and
on
kid
it.
Wins. And once he wins like that, he knows it or she knows it. You know?
Sure. But
they're in charge.
I can't condone the pinching, even though I think that's funny.
It's wrong. It's so
that was
wrong.
That was very 6-year-old of you.
Carry a cigarette later around.
But I don't.
Such a knee-jerk reaction.
But I don't criticize parents who discipline other kids when it comes to saying something to them. You know what I mean? I'm not saying spanking.
Yeah, I absolutely should have said.
But if you say something to the kid, I think you're completely in the, you know, it's okay to do that.
And I've done that before. No problem, you know. For whatever reason, this was just a knee-jerk reaction, and I physically touched a kid.
You became a child. Like, you did what
you
did.
You became a little kid.
And, what would you say to Hayden if Hayden pinched another kid? You'd yell at him.
Well, me and his mom don't really see eye to eye on that whole thing.
What do you want him to beat? You want him to beat his ass?
No, not beat ass, but he's starting to get picked on by some kids at school, and my first reaction is like, tell him to stop, and if they don't stop, then
punch him in the eye.
Give him back to what they're giving you. And Stacy's like, nope, under no circumstances do you throw a punch. So we've gone round and round about that.
But are they picking on him, like, pushing physically?
Yeah. Little
knock
bit.
Him out.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
No, she's telling him, go to the teacher.
Stay sweet.
Teacher will take care of it. I just think it's soft. I know. I don't like it.
It's 1,000% a guy-girl thing.
I don't like it.
No, it's not.
You say, go ahead.
I say, don't start the fight, but finish it.
That's what I say. I say, give him the warning. Like, say, stop. And if he keeps doing it, then push him back.
Yeah.
I mean, do your thing.
Is he still
a difference of opinion, but it's not a gender thing.
If he's sticking up for someone else, like, I wonder if Stacey would change her tune if somebody was picking on Hollis and Hayden came in to defend him.
Yeah.
She would want him to defend his little brother.
It hasn't evolved into that, but yeah, I would want him to definitely push the other kid down. She told me that some other kid, like someone was making fun of Hayden the other day because he's small, and some other kid came up and defended Hayden.
Aww.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good for that kid.
Yeah.
Have you taught Hayden the trick about holding a roll of coins in his hand when he hits someone?
Got him working the nunchucks.
Buddy. The rings on
my
fingers.
God. Hayden with nunchucks is awesome.
Hey, Alice, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. I just got to say, Bart, you were talking about a popularity contest. I listen to you forever now. I think you lived out a lot of parents' dreams doing that.
I seriously don't know what came over me, and I felt bad about it after it happened, but it was just my knee-jerk reaction.
Sometimes those kids are just so completely out of control, and, you either want to pinch the kid or you want to pinch the parent. And it's like, what are you doing?
And you never do it. You just don't do it.
But you want to.
Let me ask you a question.
But I did.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think, what are the, percentage-wise, what are the chances that you get into a verbal or physical altercation with the man you witness pinching your son for cutting in line?
Well, I got to be honest. You probably do. I mean, I think it's father to father. You go up to him and you go, what did you just do?
Let's just say.
Yeah, if somebody did that to Hayden.
You were at the bottom of the slide and you just happened to look up at the same time. You would go up to that dude and go, dude, did you seriously just pinch a 5-year-old?
Yes. I would absolutely do that. I would have absolutely confronted me on it.
If you had gotten into a fist fight over pinching a 6-year-old,
I know.
You realize.
At the zoo, nonetheless.
At the zoo! You do realize.
Dad wars.
If I got that phone call about, hey, Jeff, we're going to have to find a way to deal with this on Monday. I got arrested Saturday afternoon. I got arrested on Saturday. I'm like, oh, did you get in a fight at Jack and Diane's? No, I did get in a fight, though, at the zoo. At the where? At the zoo.
Playground, right after the petting zoo. You know that playground?
I got in a fight at the playground at the zoo. Oh, is that new bar on Moreland? No, literally, I was at the zoo in the playground. And I pinched just every step of that story, I wouldn't believe you. So I pinched a 6-year-old. What?
Hey, Donna, good morning. You're on Q100. Hey.
How y'all doing?
All right.
I love your show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks.
But I give you kudos for doing that. I take my grandson to the park and to the playground, and I experience, he's three. And big kids, like 8 years old, are not supposed to be on this playground. They're for 5-year-olds. But I don't care. I don't say anything. But they'll shove him down the slide. They'll push him out of the way. He's scared to go up. The parents are sitting there. So you know what? You should control your child. I would never let my grandson do that. So.
But you thought about it.
Oh, yes. I thought about doing the same thing you've done. Worse, pushing them down the slide.
But you got that, but you got that mental filter where you don't do it.
I would almost, I mean, we would have...
It was really an episode of Scrubs.
Yes.
We would have to get a voice disguiser that's, like, built by the CIA to get these phone calls.
Oh, no.
But I guarantee you that there are teachers who have tripped or pushed down kids.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee it. Like, the kid, it just won't stop running, and the teacher's, like, letting them on the classroom. When they go by, just gives a little, you know.
I don't think anybody would confess to it.
What do they weigh, 40 pounds? It's not hard to get them down on the ground.
Hey, Carla, you're on Q100. Go ahead.
You just don't even, you can use three fingers.
Hey, Bert. Right, I was going to say, I totally agree with you. I have a 15-month-old. And I hate the playground as well. This kid was bothering my kid the whole time. He ran by. I was going to trip him. I look around. His mom happened to go around the corner at that time. But I totally agree. It's the parent's responsibility to teach your kid how to act. And snotty kids that come to the park coughing and hacking. It's a nightmare.
Did you really? Did you just confess to looking around to make sure, quote, the coast was clear before you assaulted the 5-year-old?
Yeah, I sure did. It's like the mama bear came out of me, and I was ready to take this kid out.
Yeah, I didn't do any recon. It was a knee-jerk reaction. She's worse than I am.
Oh, that's funny.
You were looking for a teacher to confess?
No way.
Here we go. Hey, Barbara, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi, Bert. I love y'all's show.
Thank you.
My baby used to be in daycare, and they were one. And there was always this little 2-year-old, you know, when they're mixing, when they're learning to get to the day class? There was always this 2-year-old, I guess, who would be pushing on them. And so they were one, and I took it as kids being kids. And one day my babies were crying. I went to go pick them up, and they're like, she pushed on them again. You know, she pushed them. And I just got so upset, and I went and pushed the little girl down and made her cry. And I was like, my babies alone. And they were little cute, innocent things. Then I felt better after that, and she didn't mess with them anymore.
I'm sure she did it, poor thing.
That's coming out, man.
That's sad.
She's having nightmares about that.
I don't want to condone this kind of behavior, so I feel like I got to take a call to somebody that's chewing my ass out.
Okay.
Darren, go ahead.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
I got to disagree with you. I don't think pinching the kid was right.
I agree with you. It was absolutely wrong.
I'm a parent myself. I have 5 kids, actually, and I got to tell you, if I would have saw somebody else touching one of my children, it would have been a problem.
Yeah, Jeff said the same thing. Had somebody done that to my kid, I definitely would have confronted the dad, for sure. Mm. Absolutely.
There's something with a guy with a northern accent who says,
yeah.
Do we got a problem?
We got a problem here.
Ooh,
you don't got old me. Hey,
no. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
The Bert Show.
Good morning.
Hey, I was just calling to see if y'all ever told the story about the weed being taken out the house. I've been waiting and waiting. I said, here, help my water, help my water. Trying not to go to the bathroom, and I couldn't do it anymore. So I went to the restroom and came back, and y'all were all something different. And I'm like, did I miss it?
Jeff teased us earlier by telling us that
this woman in pain. Yes. She had to hold her water.
It's not my fault. I put it out there, and Burke gets all distracted. There's a butterfly in the studio.
I haven't missed it.
No, you have not. We're going to talk about it right now.
Okay, but I do want to say one more thing. Yesterday, I was surfing it down and ran across y'all, and this morning, I found myself tutored it again. So y'all doing an awesome job.
So you
yesterday was my first day, and I thoroughly enjoyed y'all.
Oh, great.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm glad you're back.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So sweet.
That's a good call, right?
Yeah. That was nice.
Fantastic.
That was cool.
All right, so Jeff teased us earlier and said that he had some weed stolen from his house. And at first, I thought he said his wee was stolen from his house, but it's not. It's weed.
Yeah, with a D.
Well, and it's
in Michael Phelps.
It's shocking on so many. Yeah, it's shocking on so many levels because Jeff
he protects it very, very, yeah. very.
Because Jeff's not the type of person that I would think would even have it in the house.
Yeah, or either is Jessica, which makes the story even more entertaining.
So, okay.
I get an email from a guy who I know who has done some work and stuff in our house, like a handyman type dude. And I got an email from him, and he says, "Hey, I need to talk to you. I would like to come over and have a conversation with you." And I was, but it wasn't like, I mean, this guy did stuff in our house like 4 months ago, like forever ago, like before Christmas.
So it's completed. So, it's not an ongoing project. So.
So I was like, wow. And, you know, whatever. It's really, you know, is there anything we can talk about on the phone? He goes, well, I'd really like to do this. Man, it was a really odd.
Are you sure it's a secure line?
Yeah. It was a really, it was a really, you know, strange exchange that went by. And I kind of like, I honestly thought that he was going to come over to the house and then I was going to get like a pitch on something, like a sob story. Like maybe he had a cousin who needed to go on BBA or, you know, a niece who desperately had to meet Britney Spears. Like I kind of got the sense that that might be what's coming. So I finally forced him into a phone conversation. And during that conversation that he admitted that one of the times that he was over working on the house, two of the people who were there were one of them was his 16-year-old son and a 20-year-old guy who worked for him. And they were helping him do one of these projects. And apparently that was 4 months ago. Fast forward to last week, Dad, the guy I'm talking to, found weed in his kid's room. And it was a little vial of weed. And he said, he drilled his son down and he goes, where did you get this? And the son confessed to taking it out of our house when he was there working on it.
Oh, no way.
Dude.
Well, the guy was calling to tell me because he wanted the son to bring it back to me.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Hilarious.
Hold on.
Okay.
He wanted the son to bring it back to me, but he did not want me to involve the police. And so I said to him, well, you know what? I said, I would love to help you out with this whole scenario that you have. However, I don't smoke weed. I don't have any weed in my house.
Nobody, I don't blow the chronic, bro.
Yeah. Nobody in my house smokes weed. We don't smoke. We certainly wouldn't own any. And we don't, I mean, we really don't.
It's not mine.
Yeah, entertain.
Dude, it's not mine.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, it's okay.
That's what he was doing.
I won't call the cops.
Yeah. And he was like,
I just want to return something my son stole from
me. Right. He's like, I understand where you're coming from. And we don't, he actually said the sentence, we don't have to discuss possession or ownership or anything like that. I just want it returned to where it came from.
You're like, dude, really, I don't smoke weed.
So I texted him like 3 or 4, and I said, well, you know what? I said, I gotta be honest with you. I called you from my home line, and I thought it was going to be a quick conversation. I'm walking out the door. Can I call you back in a couple hours? I'll call you from my cell phone. I'm going to be out running errands, whatever. And I'm like, what the hell? And could not process it. And he said how much it was. He said it was like a little clear vial of whatever. So I go out, I run errands.
Vial.
Who puts weed in a vial?
I know, I'm sitting on vial.
A plastic tube. He said,
I mean, I don't know. I'm just, you know.
I think it's like one of those plastic tubes that you'd put like film in, those little round ones.
Yeah, oh, is that what
yes,
it is?
But it was clear.
A film canister.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So anyways.
I mean, guessing.
You know.
So I make the decision.
I read High Times.
that the whole thing's too weird and I'm just not even going to process it. Whatever. Fast forward to yesterday. When I am digging around looking for a flashlight, and I open the bottom drawer of the little thing in our kitchen, and in there, I see bouncing around two little clear vials of catnip that come with the cat scratchers that Jessica buys to put next to our furniture so the cat doesn't scratch on the furniture. The cat instead scratches.
So the teenager was smoking catnip?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know he would smoke with all his friends, and they're like, oh my God, I'm so high, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Where did you get this?
And I never even thought.
Did you call the guy back?
I haven't yet. I seriously found it yesterday.
Oh, God, like, that's hilarious.
I totally opened it up, and it's like, we have this junk drawer at the bottom of our... You know, everybody's got it.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, sunglass cases, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I needed a flashlight because I was looking for something in the garage.
And it all made sense to you in a second.
And as soon as I picked the flashlight up, like, these three little vials rolled, and... Like, in two, like, the flashlight came up, the vials rolled, and the thought popped into my head, God, if we ever die in a car wreck, people are going to think that's weed. Oh! That's what the guy took!
That's great.
Been lighting up, and then...
Oh, and his friends are going, dude, this isn't really good stuff.
That's really
giving
me a headache, man.
I know.
Maybe run around the house. Uncontrollably, like running into walls and stuff.
I can't stop licking myself clean. Let's go get some mice, bro.
The Bert Show.